This hour, we're talking to American inventors. Our next guest is inventing a new music genre. His name is Robert Glasper, and he's a Grammy-nominated jazz pianist. He's also the musical director for the rappers Q-Tip and Mos Def. And he's the pianist for R&B singer Maxwell. In his own work, he brings all those genres together into a new form, and I'm not sure what you call it. Glasper calls his new album Black Radio. He tells Steve Paulson it's a reference to the black box of recordings that survives a plane crash.
I named the album Black Radio because I feel like when music crashes around you, good music always survives. You can always go back to great music, no matter what's happening on the radio stations or whatnot. So I named this album Black Radio because I feel like this is one of those albums that will survive amongst all the crashing and burning that's going around us.
So you think music basically is in pretty sad shape right now?
I think so. I think at least the music that is put in front of everyone's faces is. You know what I mean? The music that normally makes the Billboard charts are. You know what I mean?
Well, and you're even in your liner notes, you're even stronger about that. I mean, you say the collective dumbing down of our music is the greatest tragedy we can impose on generations to follow.
Indeed. And that's the truth. Because that's what they're holding as gold now. These certain songs, these, you know, I'm in the club, I'm shaking my ass. You know, I got guns. You know, it's just every song is about that. Look at my cars. You know, it's like five subjects that you have to be talking about in order to make mainstream radio now.
Are you talking specifically about hip hop here?
Hip hop and R&B. In order to make an R&B song that's gonna be on the top of the charts, it's still the same subjects. You know what I mean? Still talking about some of the same things. The music has to be a certain way, has to be a certain formula, you know what I mean? And if you're a girl, you have to be somewhat of a Beyonce, you know. You can't just be a talented vocalist with a really good song.
You got to look a certain way, too.
You got to look a certain way, you got to dance. It's just a whole package, and everybody has to be that. So every record label is searching for the same person to compete with the other same person.
So where do you come into this then? I mean, as someone who loves music but doesn't like a lot of the most popular music out there, how do you?
I just do what I like to do, and I love jazz, and I'm a jazz pianist, and then I also love R&B and hip hop, which, you know, that's my whole thing. I've always been in both sides of that world. You know, I'm a Blue Note recording artist, and I've, you know, played in Christian McBride's band and Kenny Garrett's band and Russell Malone and Roy Hargrove and Terrence Blanchard, but at the same time, I'm also Maxwell's piano player and recorded and played with Q-Tip, and I'm Mos Def's music director, you know, and I do that side too. So I just love music. So I put together a record that I think is just good music, and lo and behold, it debuted at number 4 on the hip hop R&B charts, right after Rihanna. And that doesn't happen. So I was number 1 on the jazz charts and number 4 on hip hop R&B charts. So my point was to cross over, you know what I mean, in doing this record, doing a record that kind of flirts with a lot of different styles, but it also did it on Billboard as well, to my surprise. In a heart, you're in a mind, you're the star that will always shine, wherever you'll be with me. So like, you ever see the inner depths of a man's soul? Ninja Turtles pouring out of manholes. It's this balance between the comic and the conscious that's the challenge. Between the solitary and the conference that I examines. That I imagine once a figure will be the start of world peace and the transformation of niggas. Like the transubstantiation of liquor, but that's just turning them into blood. And we'll be right back where we was. Not a peace sign, but a fascination with scissors. So I can cut myself off from the calculations of empress empires and the centers for advancement and human suffering and other things trying to impede my publishing. I just want to be. I just want to be. Some people in the jazz world are probably saying, oh, he sold out or something. You're selling out, you're doing this hip hop stuff, but. Actually, I'm being honest. I'm of the hip-hop generation, so I'm doing what's within my generation. So actually, I'm not selling out. I'm being honest. Me not being honest would be selling out.
I have to ask about this crossover because, I mean, this is a fascinating collection of music that you're drawing from on this album. I mean, you have David Bowie tunes, Nirvana, as well as the classic jazz standard Afro Blue. I mean, it raises the question, what holds all this music together?
I mean, the honest love for it, for me. I mean, I grew up, my mother was a singer, piano player, and she
listen to so much music, you know, different, all kinds of different music, you know, from, I mean, you can walk in the house, 1 minute you're listening to Liza Minnelli, the next minute you're listening to Ella Fitzgerald and Oscar Peterson, then you're listening to Mahalia Jackson, then you're listening to, you know, Phil Collins or Billy Joel and Bruce Hornsby. I mean, the list just goes on and on, so I've always been a fan of just all kinds of music. I think what holds it together is having a band that also has that same eclectic taste in music and who can also play all that kind of stuff in a fashion that's comfortable and effortless. So it brings everything across in a very honest and effortless and casual way versus it sounding like we're trying to be cool by doing these songs. When in fact, I've loved Nirvana since I was in sixth grade. You know what I mean? And I've loved Teen Spirit, that specific song, Smells Like Teen Spirits, for that long as well. You know what I mean? So it's just, I'm just really being honest of what I like. It's just that, you know, people don't expect you to like certain things, you know, I guess.
How would you describe your version? Is this jazz? Is this rock?
It's a bunch of stuff in one. I think it's a more laid back urban approach, especially towards the end. It gets there. It turns into more of an R&B slow jam out of nowhere, which I love because it literally comes out of nowhere. And it wasn't even planned that way. We just kind of happened that way. And Layla just happened to be in the studio while we were recording that song. So I was like, hey, come sing on it. You know what I mean? So I feel like, yeah, it's just it's the urban version of Teen Spirit, speaking to everyone, just like the original was, just in a different way that everybody can hear it.
So what is it about the way jazz is usually played that you don't like then? I mean, do you feel like it's too stuck in the past?
Way too stuck in the past. It's when you listen to a lot of jazz nowadays, they're drawing from 1960 and before. They make that their whole thing. And the thing that's different is those cats weren't doing that. The cats in 1960 were not drawing from, you know, 80 years before them. You know what I mean? They were playing what was fresh, cool, and hip at that moment. Like, that was the hip-hop of its day. We now are drawing from the past and kind of making the past our present in some way. And that's not what our founding fathers of the music had in mind.
Let's talk about what you do. And just to cite one example, actually, from a previous album, Mood, you have an arrangement of Herbie Hancock's Maiden Voyage, which features vocals from the hip-hop artist Bilal. And you're also sampling on piano the Radiohead song Everything in Its Right Place.
Right.
Which raises the question, what is this? I mean, is this jazz, this song? Is it hip-hop? Does it matter?
It's jazz, because jazz takes from its surroundings and makes something new. It's like a casserole, you know? They take a bunch of old things that are lying around and new things that are lying around, and you make a new meal. It's casserole. That's what, you know, John Coltrane did with My Favorite Things. Nobody listens to My Favorite Things by John Coltrane and says that's not jazz, because My Favorite Things is not a jazz tune. My Favorite Thing is the show tune. You know, that's from The Sound of Music. And he took that and was like, hey, I like that song. It's not a jazz song, but I'm going to make it into one because I like it. That's what John Coltrane did. And everyone's like praising it now. Oh my God, it's amazing. It's in all the jazz books, you know. But it takes people like that to keep jazz alive and keep it growing. You know, you have to take things that are around you and you have to tell your own story. I can't tell the story of somebody in 1950. That's why those songs don't do anything for me. I love Body and Soul. I love playing Body and Soul. It doesn't touch me like something else might that's of this generation. You know what I mean? I didn't grow up with Body and Soul. I didn't cry to Body and Soul. I didn't get my heart broken to Body and Soul. You know, and those people did.
Rescue me. This is my prayer. If you were mine, if you were mine, I wouldn't want to go to heaven.
We've been talking about some of the great singers who were featured on your album Black Radio. One of them is Erykah Badu, who sings the classic Afro Blue. Tell me about that choice.
Ever since I've heard Erykah Badu's voice, I've always thought she sounded like a reincarnated Billie Holiday. You know, she's embodied that. It's not even like she's trying. It just is. So in my mind, I've always heard her singing jazz. I've never heard her sing jazz before, but in my mind, she sings jazz all the time. So when I asked her to be on the record, and I've always loved this song, Afro Blue, and for me, her and Afro Blue go hand in hand. She even thanked me for turning her on to this song after the fact. She's like, oh my God, thank you. I love this song. I don't know why I've never heard it, you know. So when I did this arrangement, I did it specifically for her, and she loves flutes. You know, so I specifically made this arrangement just for her, and it came off so great. She's so natural.
Rich as the night, Afro blue. Elegant boy, beautiful girl.
There's a million good singers. You know, there's a million technical singers. There's a million technical piano players. You know, but who has a sound? You know, who sounds like themselves? Who has a story? Is what I'm looking for. You know what I mean? And everybody on this album has that. At the end of the day, I don't care what you're saying. If I can't listen to your voice, I don't want to hear you talk. You know, sound is the first thing you hear. It's the video audio. It's the first thing you hear is sound. Then after that, oh, they sound, oh, what are they saying? Oh, they can sing really good. But the first thing you hear is the sound of their voice. And everybody on this album, if they all just say, la, you know who they are.
Go hold you, rich as a night, Afro blue. Dream of a land.
The Robert Glasper Experiments album is called Black Radio. Steve Paulson spoke with him.